Cryptocurrency seems to be everywhere these days. Media outlets are covering the ups and downs of Bitcoin just as closely as NASDAQ and the Dow. But what exactly is a cryptocurrency, and how does it work? I sat down with local enthusiast Franklin Marin to discuss. Hi Franklin, thanks for joining me. We're here to talk today about cryptocurrencies, which are a big subject in the media, but not a lot of people know what they are, how they work, and what exactly the big deal is. The ones that most people are hearing about are Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Ripple, and they're all very popular, but what is it exactly that people do with them?
Okay, so Bitcoin, which is like the grandfather, it wasn't the first, but it's the most popular. What happens is that it's based on an algorithm that keeps track of a ledger. A ledger, or a blockchain as is more commonly referred to, is just a long book of transactions. And more or less what Bitcoin does is that it allows you to exchange something as if it was a dollar or gold or whatever, or even in the old days, a sheep. And it gives a certain value, and you exchange it between one person and another. And unlike, let's say, credit cards or any kind of banking type system where there's a third party that oversees the transaction, cryptocurrencies allow the two parties to be the ones that are managing the transactions, and a third, fourth, or fifth party to be the ones that validate the transaction. So, for example, I give you some Bitcoin, you provide whatever service or whatever item, and everybody else included in the blockchain verifies that transaction for, security, and also to make sure that there's no fraudulent transactions. In other words, that I don't use that same Bitcoin and give it to somebody else.
Right.
So it eliminates that part of the corruption or the fraud of it. Whereas a credit card, if it gets stolen, you can shop here, shop there, and never pay it off. Cryptocurrency has inherent transaction monitoring / security where everybody else not doing the transaction validates the authenticity of your transaction.
Got it. Now, it's not like a common hard currency like dollars or euros or something like that, though. As far as I understand, it can only be used between people on their computers. Is that right?
Yes, to a certain extent, on any digital format. So you can use it on your computers. You can use it on your smartphones. You can also, in certain places, you can use it on your smartwatches. Just like you would use like your MasterCard to swipe at a fast food chain at the iPay or the Google Pay. There are systems in certain places where you can use cryptocurrencies. Of course, the most popular one is Bitcoin. But yes, you can use that and hold your Bitcoins if you want, either on a physical wallet or paper wallet, or a software wallet. Mm-hmm. And each one has different levels of security and functionality with it.
Right. Well, I think one issue that people have with cryptocurrency is they say, well, sure, there's a few places I can use it, but what do I really use it for once I have it? What's the argument for it being more useful than cash? Or is it more of like a specialized thing?
Right now it's specialized. But the reason that people are excited about it is that it is what's called a peer-to-peer currency. So in cryptocurrency, more or less, you've taken out the banks. There's not going to be a service charged to the banks. There's no sudden, I went to this ATM and I got charged $10, but I went to this other ATM and I got charged $20. It's a decentralized, which means there's no one governing body. But because it's peer-to-peer, it means everybody controls and watches over everybody else's transactions. So that's what people are liking about it, is that, number one, it's encrypted, it's secure, the transactions only recorded from wallet to wallet, but nobody knows who that person is. So it's not unlike credit cards where they keep track of your social security and where you bought and whatever. It doesn't know. It just went from this wallet to that wallet, and all the wallets are encrypted and secured. So it's private.
I see. The other way of acquiring these cryptocurrencies that you mentioned was mining.
Yes.
Could you explain that? Because it seems a bit counterintuitive that you're mining a virtual currency.
Okay, so the word is mining, and that's the term that everybody has accepted. But you're not mining anything. What you're doing is that you're using a CPU, a specialized CPU, in certain, for example, Bitcoin's, it's a special called ASIC CPU that is designed specifically for that coin,
right.
The algorithm that's at the foundation of this coin.
Right. To back up, a CPU is the central processing unit
of your computer. But you don't want to use those because those are limited to depending on to maybe 2-4 cores. Now, something that came into the market was a GPU, a graphics processing unit. The graphics processing unit can have anywhere between 1,500 nowadays, or maybe only 1,000 to 3,000 cores. Each core you set to work at solving that algorithm.
I see. And your coins are the reward for solving a mathematical algorithm.
Right. And so you solve this. It's like solving prime numbers, for lack of a better example. Scientists are always trying to find the next prime number. And so you're using your computer's graphic powers from your graphics card mostly. You can use your CPU, but you're going to get less results than a graphics processor. So you're going to use your graphics card, and you're going to solve these algorithms. And in solving these algorithms, you're verifying other people's transactions. And each transaction is a new number that's added to the blockchain. That's why they call it a chain, because you solve a block. And it becomes a blockchain, and that's just a long string of transactions. And it keeps on growing, and it keeps on growing. So inherently, the mining becomes difficult because now you got to solve more, bigger and bigger, longer ledger. So right now, it's exciting because people are discovering new coins that are profitable, so to speak, and that they're somewhat easy to solve as far as the algorithm.
Right.
Or the next number in the sequence.
So that by joining onto the blockchain, it's less work for the computer that you're using, and you get a higher reward for it.
Well, you're always going to get, because it's decentralized, everybody gets a percentage of what work. Right now, as proof of work, there's two terms. They're kind of high tech. I'm not going to really go into them, but there's two types. There's proof of stake. It's proof of work. And just briefly, proof of stake means how much do you own of a coin. And depending on how much you own of a coin, that's how much you get paid. Proof of work, which is the more popular one right now, is how much work, how many graphics cards do you put to work, you'll get a percentage of every transaction. So when I give you a Bitcoin, let's say we were trading something that worthy, because right now it's, $8,000 at this point in time. But if I give you a Bitcoin, 1% at least of that transaction goes out to pay the people who verify the transaction.
Okay.
And so if I was one of those people that was verifying your transactions because I left my computer running all day, and I don't get to pick which transactions, I don't know whose transactions I'm verifying, I'm just verifying transactions.
Right.
I get paid a percentage. And so people have pooled together their computers through the internet to join what's called mining pools. Because then all these people together and all their CPUs and all their GPUs together are able to process these transactions faster than you doing it by yourself. If you do it by yourself, let's say it would take maybe a month or two to process one transaction, whereas if you join a pool that's for that currency that you want to mine, you're doing it with thousands of people, and you're processing all these transactions with thousands of people and whatever they have set up. So it's once again, it's peer-to-peer, and so it's like charging a commission or a fee. You're charging, 2%, 1%, depending on the coin. Some coins charge up to 2%, 3%, 5%. That's okay. Why they call it proof of work. You do the work, you have proof of it, you validate the work, and you get, and that's how people get paid.
Okay.
And that money or that percentage gets put into what I mentioned before is a wallet.
Gotcha. Okay. So if we go back to the wallets, you mentioned there were three kinds. There were the paper, the digital, and then a physical one.
Yes.
Can you explain a little bit about the difference between them?
Okay, the three different types of wallet, basically. Physical just means because each wallet is a long line of encrypted numbers and letters. Mm-hmm. It'll be, you know, random number generator, letters, symbols. Depending on the type of wallet, it's how long it is. And so in order for it to be secure, the wallet, some wallets are made out of passphrases. So for example, one wallet that I have uses 25 different words, random words, to back up my passphrase to back up my wallet. So if I ever lose contact with my wallet, I have the 25 passwords that count as passphrase to be able to go anywhere and say, okay, these are my passphrases, and they'll say, oh, okay, that's associated with this wallet, so I can access my wallet. If I lose that paper with the passphrases, I've lost access to my wallet, and let's say I lose wherever else I have it. So that's called the physical wallet, where you keep it on a piece of paper somewhere secure. That's called the paper wallet, where you keep it on some physical printout or something like that, and you have to keep that secure somewhere.
Gotcha, like in a locked safe somewhere.
A locked safe or something, because in case you ever lose it on your computer, so that's a backup, paper backup to a wallet.
Okay.
Then there's a software wallet that you can load on your desktop. Some of them have accessibility to on your desktop and on your cell phone, or different places like that. Depending on your operating system, they'll have different versions. And then that's just a piece of software that you open. You input your wallet information, you input your passphrase. Once again, you can back it up to like a paper or a printout that you save somewhere just in case. And that's where that wallet resides. And then whenever you need to make a transaction, you just need to be able to open up that piece of software.
Okay.
Okay. And then the third one is a hardware wallet, where you have a physical like key fob or something that goes on your keychain, where you, whenever you want to store coins on it, you have to plug it into your computer, open up whatever interface it has with that wallet, and it downloads or transfers the information of what it's in your wallet to that physical. And then when you disconnect, that's the only place that you have your currency.
I see. So it would look just like a general flash drive stick?
Yes. Most of them are compatible, or they'll have a cable that's like a flash drive stick.
I see.
And that connects to like a USB port.
Well, excellent. Again, thank you so much for joining me. This has been super informative, and I think you've answered basically every question I could possibly think of about cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
So thank you again, Franklin Marin.
Thank you.